The only reason we get to go there is because Jesus died. He shed his blood for our sins and rose again. What a great song. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 12 this morning. Numbers chapter 12. Great to be in God's house today. As you're finding your place there, would you stand with me? Numbers chapter 12. We're continuing our series, Greater Service. Last week we learned about one of the greatest servants of God, Abraham. This morning we're going to learn about another great servant of God as we learn to serve like Moses. And Moses was a servant of God unlike any other. How do I know that? Because God said so. And we're going to learn about that today. Here we look in Numbers chapter 12 and find verse 6, if you would please. Numbers 12 and verse 6. The Word of God says, "And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us, for the privilege and freedom to come and to sing your praises and to learn from your word today. Thank you, God, so much for everyone who's come. And I pray that you would bless each one in a special way. Help us, Lord, to hear your word and be obedient to it today. May your Holy Spirit just move among us and convict our hearts and change us by your great power. Lord, I pray that if there's one here who's never been saved, that today would be the day that they would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on you and receive that gift of eternal life. Lord, for all who are saved, I pray that you'd help all of us to be greater servants for you. Help us to learn how to serve like Moses today. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. May you get all the honor and glory, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we consider serving like Moses, I want you to notice that God makes a distinction. God has called many men into the service. God has had many, many servants. God has had many servants and many prophets who he spoke to and revealed truth to. And the prophet's job was to hear what God had to say and to teach other people. And Moses certainly did that. But God makes a distinction about Moses. God says in verse 7, "My servant Moses is not so." God makes a distinction about Moses. He says, Moses is a little bit different. My relationship with Moses is going to be different. The way I interact with Moses is going to be different. The way I speak to him and the way that he is able to know me and to see me is going to be a little different. And so I think Moses is one of the great examples in Scripture for us to learn from about how to serve God. I have two very simple points for you this morning. Don't get too excited. That doesn't mean the message is going to be short. Sorry, not really, not even really sorry, but just two simple points for you this morning. Moses was a great servant of God, number one, because he had a close fellowship with God, and number two, because he had committed faithfulness to God. He had close fellowship with God and committed faithfulness to God. Notice his nearness to God this morning. He said, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." Listen, Moses was very close to God. He had a nearness to God that we should want to strive to have in our own lives. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 28 and 29, the Bible says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." Listen, Moses was close to God. He had a closeness with the Lord. Listen, he spent 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with God. He was close to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all,
with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen, Moses went up on the mountain because God told him to, and God came down and met with Moses there, and he had this close fellowship with God. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in close fellowship with God to the point that the glory of God was evident in the face of Moses. When he came down from the mountain, he didn't know it. He didn't know the difference that God had made in his life. He didn't realize it, but when he came down from the mountain, everybody was terrified of Moses because his face was glowing. I don't know about you, but if somebody walked in church this morning and their face was glowing, it'd kind of freak me out. Listen, I want to be like Moses, but I'm a whole lot more like the people that were down in the camp. I want to be like Moses. I want to be up on the mountain with God and spend close fellowship with God and be so close to God it just kind of shines off of my life. But I'm really a lot more like the people down left behind in the village, down in the tents and down in the camp. I'm more like them. When I get around somebody who's been close to God, I see it and I know it, and it's intimidating to me. But man, we ought to have a desire to be like Moses, who was so close to God. He had a nearness to the Lord. He talked to God just like you and I talk to one another. God said, I'm going to be different with Moses. I give these prophets, I give them visions. I show them things that are dark sayings. I show them things that aren't clear sometimes, and I deal with them in a different way, but Moses is going to be different. I want you to rejoice with me today. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access to God today that was unprecedented in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple, and it signified that we've got access to the throne room of God like never before. Listen, you can say, well, I wish I could be like Moses. You know, I can't go up on the mountain like him. I can't go all the way over there and fly to Mount Sinai and be close to God like that. You don't have to fly and climb Mount Sinai to be close to God today. We have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can come boldly before his throne of grace. Because of Jesus, we've got a closeness to God available to us. Listen, in Acts 4:13, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, we can spend time with Jesus today to the point that it's evident in our life. We can be close to him. We can come boldly before his throne of grace. We can fellowship with him. And I read 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, when we behold as in a glass, when we look into this perfect law of liberty, we see Jesus and his truth shines on our faces, and we can be changed to become more and more like him. Amen. And we can be like him. We can be close to him. We can fellowship with him. We can walk with him day by day. I want you to understand something. God is so misunderstood in the world. And I've been saved since I was 14. I've studied my Bible since that time. And there's so much I don't know about God. But I know this. God wants to have fellowship with each and every one of you. Amen. From the very beginning, it was God's desire. He created man to have fellowship with him. And it's our sin that separates us. But through Christ, and we can have forgiveness of sin, and we can have fellowship with God. We can be near God. Moses was so close to God, his face shined with the glory of God. Peter and John, and I'm not trying to insult you today, but I think we're a lot like Peter and John. Unlearned and ignorant men. No offense. It doesn't really matter what kind of walk of life you come from. You can have closeness to Jesus so much that other people will know it. Nearness to God. Moses had a close fellowship with God. Not only do we see his nearness to God, but notice his knowledge of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 and 12, Deuteronomy 34, 10 and 12, the Bible says that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. in all the signs and wonders which the Lord did sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Listen, Moses was able to know God face to face. We read a little while ago that God was going to allow him to see the similitude of God. Now, no man has ever seen God's face. God told Moses, if I showed you my face, you couldn't live, you'd die. But you'll remember that God took Moses and hit him in the cleft of the rock, and God passed by, and Moses was able to see the glory of God as he passed by. He saw it as he went by. And he got to see God and fellowship with God in a way that nobody else did, and his knowledge of God was evident in his life. How was it that he was so close to God? By my reckoning, and so you study this out, and you can check me out and see if I'm right or wrong. I've been wrong before. But by my reckoning, I think Moses spent 40 days and nights on the mountain with God on three separate occasions. Three times Moses went up on the mountain and was alone with God for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know that I've done anything for 40 days straight. It's an awesome thing. Amen. Listen, Moses had this desire to know God and to be close to God. In Exodus 24, verse 18, it says, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And then later we read in Exodus 34 and 28 that he was up there when God gave him the stone tablets, the law of God. As a side note, when Brother Melanson was here, the archaeologist, he showed us these tablets from around that same time period. They were about the size of your cell phone. So a lot of you guys were here, remember that. Written, the ones he brought were cuneiform tablets. They were written on both sides, just the way God describes the tablets that he gave. By the way, God's word says that he came down with the tablets, plural, in his hand, singular. I thought that was awesome. Because in my mind, I got this picture of Moses coming down with the big stone tablets, you know, because I've seen the movie, right? But when you don't pay attention to the movie and you just read the Bible, it says that he came down with them both in his hand. So it's very likely that they were very small tablets that God had given him. But he spent 40 days and 40 nights there in the mountain with God. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. It says again in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 18, Moses says, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. When the nation of Israel sinned against God and God was ready to wipe them out, and Moses went back up into the mountain and prayed for the people for 40 days and 40 nights. He pled with God not to wipe out the nation of Israel. I'm just telling you that he was close to God. And you say, well, he was a special man and God chose him and God appointed him and anointed him, and all that's true. But Moses still had to go up on the mountain. And Moses had to stay on the mountain. He put forth the effort to be close to God. He knew God face to face, unlike any other man, and communicated with God in a different way because he chose to be close to God. When God said, come and commune with me, he went. When God said, come and stay with me a while, he went and he stayed. Guess what, friends? If we're not close to God today, it's not our fault. Amen. You can't say, well, I'm not like Moses. God hasn't asked me to be close to him like that. You're dead wrong. He's asked all of us to come to him. Amen. He's asked all of us to come and sit in his feet and learn every day. He's asked all of us to walk with him day by day. He's given us his holy word to hear from him day after day. He's given us his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to speak to us and to help us day by day. I'm just here to tell you that you can have a closeness to God far greater than you've ever dreamed of, but we have to put forth the effort. So what are you saying, preacher? Well, I'd all go find us a place up here on the hill and just sit up there for 40 days? No. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that every day of your life, you ought to go out of your way to be alone with God.
Amen.
Go out of your way to be alone with God. Go out of your way to get in your prayer closet and spend time in secret with God. Because he that sees and hears you secretly will reward you openly. You got to go out of your way every day to get into the Word of God. We've got to live by the Word of God, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we can have a close fellowship with God. I want to tell you, I think there's a danger sometimes. Because we let all these churchy things that we do become just kind of a habit for us or a tradition for us. It's just kind of what we do. And if we're not careful, we miss the whole point. See, I believe that you ought to have a prayer list that you ought to pray through. I believe that if you're going to pray for all the stuff you need to remember to pray for, you need a list.
Amen.
I tend to forget things.
Amen.
Yesterday, I was going over to my mother-in-law's, and my wife asked me multiple times. There was a box sitting on the floor. She said, will you take that over there to my mom's when you go? Yeah, I sure will. I'll do that, sweetheart. I'll be glad to do that. She probably reminded me, Brother Dean, about 5 or 6 times. And so I finally got out of there. I went to my mother-in-law's house, and I got a text, and I pulled my phone out, and it said, how did you forget to take the box? And I had to walk by it 3 times to leave the house. I texted back and said, I'm just that good. Listen, I forget stuff all the time. I think a prayer list is a great thing.
Amen.
To remember the things you need to pray for. I think a Bible reading plan is a great tool. I think it's awesome to have a list that reminds you every day to keep up with your Bible reading, and you read that and you check it off every day, and to keep up with where you're at and to make sure you're staying in the Word of God, and keeps you accountable and reminds you of those things. And I think you ought to come to church every time the doors are open. Let me try that one more time. I think you ought to come to church every time the doors are open.
Amen.
I think unless you are physically incapable of being here, you ought to be here.
Amen.
And we might have different definitions of physically incapable. If you're sleepy and don't want to get out of bed, that's not physically incapable. I think you ought to be here every time the doors are open. I think there's a lot of things that we ought to do as Christians, but I want you to get this. All of those things that we do, that's not the point.
Amen.
We do those things so that we can be close to God.
Amen.
Those are not the end. They're the means to the end.
Amen.
We're in the Word of God so that we can know the God of the Word.
Amen.
We come to the house of God so that we can worship the God of the house. We pray so that we can be close to Him, not so we can give Him a laundry list of things that we want.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the whole point of this, and the reason God used Moses in such a great way, the reason there was no other servant like Moses, because he was close to God.
Amen.
And you can have that closeness to God in your life too. He had a close fellowship. Notice, secondly, he had committed faithfulness to God. We're going to move around in our Bible a little bit, but I want you to know the New Testament tells us about Moses quite a bit. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says that Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses was a faithful servant of God. I told you before about a young lady who was applying to a college, and there were, I don't remember exactly how many, there were several hundreds or a couple of thousand applicants to this college for the scholarship, and she was applying, and one of the questions was, are you a leader or are you a follower? And she thought about that, and she said, I'm no leader, I'm a follower. She marked that down on the paper and sent it in. She thought, I'll never get in because I'm not a leader. Well, they called her up, they responded to her, and they said, you've been accepted into our university. They made the point to let her know, out of all of the hundreds of applicants, she was the only one that was a follower.
Amen.
We figure we got all these leaders, we need somebody that's going to be a follower.
Right.
You know why Moses was a great leader of God's people? Because he was a great follower of God. How was it that he was able to do all the great things he did? Because he served the Lord and he served the people. It wasn't so much that he was a great leader of the people, he was a great servant of the people. That's why he was great. He humbled himself before God. He was dedicated to serving the Lord. Moses had a great dedication to God and to his people. Moses often fell on his face before God to protect God's people, but more importantly, to protect the name of God. I want to give you one example this morning. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14. Look down at verse 11. Now, we don't have time to get into all the details this morning, but just suffice it to say that God used Moses. You remember the people were in great bondage in Egypt. They cried out to God. God sent Moses to deliver them. Now, Moses wasn't perfect. You remember when God called him, he said, "Listen, God, I can't do it. How are you gonna, who am I? I'm nobody." And God said, "Listen, I made you. I can use you." He said, "But I can't talk right. I've got speech problems." And he said, "Listen, who made your mouth? I got this. I'm going to take care of you." And so then he yielded to the Lord. God sent him back. God used him, brought all those plagues on Egypt, and finally Pharaoh said, "Get out of here." They come to the Red Sea. By the way, have you ever noticed, if you study it, God took them to that place on purpose? I don't know that I'd ever noticed it until I started studying for this lesson. I mean, I know God did that, God was in it, but it specifically says in the Bible, God took them there on purpose. He took them to where there was no other way out. Amen. By the way, he'll do that in your life too. We were talking this morning. God will never put more on you than you're able to bear, but God will put enough on you that you'll have to depend on him. Amen. So he took him down there, and Moses, man, don't get the picture of the movie too much in your mind, but Moses raised that staff up, and he held it, and the waters parted. God sent the east wind throughout the night, and it parted the waters. There was dry ground. The water was like a wall on each side. Man, are you kidding me? And they take off through there. And here comes Pharaoh in his chariots. And Moses turns around and kind of like dropping the mic, right? And there's Pharaoh and all his chariots, and God delivers them. And it was incredible. But you know, before they ever got to that point, they had already said, "We'd been better off if we'd have stayed in Egypt." And then they get on the other side and they get hungry. And they say, "It'd be better off if we stayed in Egypt. What'd you bring us out here to die for, Moses?" And so God gives them food. And then they get thirsty. "What'd you bring us out here to die for, Moses? We'd have been better off in Egypt." And so God gives them water. And constantly, constantly, it's this cycle of murmuring and complaining. And God brings judgment. And then they repent. And God blesses them. And they murmur and complain. And God brings judgment. And they repent. And God blesses them, and it's just back and forth like this all the time. And when you read through the book of Exodus and Numbers and all of these books and everything that happened, it is wearisome. Amen. Isn't it? Amen. I mean, I'm just like, you guys are so stupid. Would you wake up? He's going to take care of you. You weren't better off in Egypt. You're better off following God now. Amen. And then I get convicted. And if they were stupid, I'm even dumber. Because I do the same thing. We murmur and we complain and things don't go well. And then we go, "God, please help me. I don't know why everything's going wrong." And he helps and he blesses and he forgives. And then we go right back around again. I don't know about you, but I'd get tired of going right back around again. I want you to notice, though, in all of this up and down with Israel, I know Moses made some mistakes, and he certainly did sin against the Lord at the very end, and he didn't get to go into the promised land and all of that, but I'm just telling you, by and large, he was right here the whole time. Amen. Everybody else is up, they're down, they're over here, they're over there, but Moses is just even keel the whole time. Why? Because he was dedicated to serving God. He loved the Lord. He believed the Lord. In Numbers 14, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me?" This is one of those times where they had murmured and complained against God. They'd sinned against God. They turned away. And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God says, I'm done with them. I have showed them all of these signs and wonders. I have delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. I have provided for them day after day, month after month, throughout this time in the wilderness, and they still won't believe me. I'm done. I'm going to send disease and wipe them out. I'm going to disinherit them, and I'm going to make a better nation out of you, Moses. Now, can you guys just pretend with me for a second? What if you'd have been in Moses' place? How many of you would have been like, sounds like a good deal to me. I can't stand them either. Honestly, how many of you would be like, sweet, let's do that. I like that plan. You know why we would be like that? Because we love ourselves more than we love God. You see, Moses didn't forget something. He didn't forget the promise of God. And he knew that the name of God was on the line. He says in verse 13, Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. What was it that Moses was so concerned about? Now, he cared about the people. He spent 40 days and 40 nights trying to keep God from killing them before. But what was his heart? He was dedicated to the name of God. Lord, if you do what you're saying you're going to do, if you wipe them out and start over, you could do that, but the Egyptians are going to hear about it. The Amorites and the Moabites and the Jebusites and the Philistines and the Canaanites, they're all going to hear about it, God, and they're going to say, you're not able. They'll blaspheme your name, God. Please, God, forgive our sin. You said you were great in mercy. You said you would pardon our iniquities. You said you were long-suffering. Please keep your promise and forgive us again, God, because I don't want your name. I don't want your name to be blasphemed among the heathen. And we ought to have a love for God. Did you know that your conduct has an impact on God's reputation in this world? You know, we ought to care enough about the name of God that it alters our behavior. You know how many times I've been told somebody won't come to church because of all the hypocrites? It's a lame excuse, but nonetheless, there are a lot of hypocrites in churches. I told you before, my answer is always, that's okay, we can take one more. Listen, church isn't a place for perfect people. We're all sinners. And our only hope is the salvation of Jesus Christ, but that's not a license to sin. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'm telling you that this is not a place for perfect people because perfect doesn't exist. Sinless doesn't exist. But this is a place for changed people and people who are being changed. there ought to be a difference in our lives. And Moses had a dedication to God, and so he was faithful. He was faithful in all his house as a servant of God. I want you to not only notice his dedication, but notice his decision. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. I know this is the longest two-point sermon you've ever heard in your life, but just stay with me because there's some good stuff here you're not going to want to miss. Hebrews chapter 11, find verse 24. Now, we learned a lot about faith last week from the father of the faith, Abraham, but I want you to know that every person in Scripture who did anything great for God did it by faith. Anything you do for God is going to have to be done by faith. And so, Hebrews 11, 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, when the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. There's a few key words I want you to notice in the passage. Notice, first of all, in verse 24, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen, Moses was apparently faced with a choice. He was essentially adopted by Pharaoh's daughter when she found him at the river, and he could have stayed as that position. Basically a prince of Egypt. He had a choice to stay and to choose Egypt or to choose Israel. But he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Why? Because he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. You see, he made a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses didn't try to straddle the fence. He didn't try to play both sides. He wasn't hot or he wasn't lukewarm. He was either hot or he was cold. He wasn't in between. He wasn't wishy-washy. He didn't try to be Egyptian a little and an Israelite a little. You guys with me? Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of our old life. It's a picture of being bound in sin. You know what we do? We want to get out of Egypt, but we want to kind of stay in Egypt. We want to kind of do both. Straddle the fence. Be lukewarm. Be in the world a little, but be churchy a little. I want to just say this as plainly as I can to you this morning. It will not work. Moses made a decision because of his dedication to God. Why did he make that choice? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That doesn't sound fun. Because he understood that the pleasure of sin was just for a season. He made his decision. He forsook Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew that his decision was going to cost him. He knew that it was going to be hard, but he knew in the end it was going to be better for him. It was going to be better for him in the long run to suffer for Christ and be with God's people than to enjoy this world for a little while and be in the world and be in Egypt. Friend, I want you to understand something. Sin's fun. It is. But it's not worth it. Yeah, we could, if we just stop right now, we could spend the rest of the day having testimonies of people who come through and stand right up here and tell you, I tried the world's way, I got in sin, and it's not worth it.
Amen. Amen.
And we could spend days doing that. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get it in your head, though. You're going to have to get it in your heart that it's not worth it. Following God is worth it. He said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be reproach. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to have to give something up. I'm going to be hated. But it's going to be worth it. Why? I love verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It's almost like he could see God. You know what? By faith, you can see God too. And if we would live every day with Jesus at the front of our mind and squarely in our vision, looking unto Jesus, then we could make some right decisions too. He kept the Passover and was saved with all them who applied the blood. The only way you and I could ever be saved. What was it that finally delivered them from the bondage of Egypt? When the blood of the Lamb was applied. Personally. How can you and I be saved from the bondage of sin? When the blood of the Lamb is applied personally. How do you do that? You repent. You turn away from your sin and you turn to God. You have a change in your mind. It says, I know that my life has been wrong in the eyes of God and I'm turning away from that and I choose to turn to God. I want to follow Him. I don't want this life of sin anymore. You repent and you believe. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. And if we can repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we can call on Him and we can be saved. When we do that, His blood is applied to our account. And we can be set free from the bondage of sin. Not only that, they pass through the Red Sea. You know, after you get saved, the first thing you need to do is follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. You need to go through the baptismal waters. You need to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to let the world know that I'm not turning back. I trusted in Him, but Jesus isn't just a fire escape so I don't have to go to hell. Jesus is the Lord and Master of my life, and I want to live for Him. We get saved, we get baptized, and we serve the Lord, keeping close fellowship with Him and being committed in our faithfulness to Him. This morning, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while our musicians are coming, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Moses was a great servant of God. He had a great love for God, a great love for God's people. Our text this morning, where we started back in Numbers chapter 12, God is answering and saying, my servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all my house. He said, Moses is different. You know where this came from, this whole passage that we talked about this morning? It came in the midst of his own brother and his own sister turning their back on him. But God stood in and he said, listen, Moses is different. Because Moses is meek before me. Unlike anybody else, he has humbled himself before me. He has more meekness, more humility than any other man. He was willing to humble himself before God, and God came to his defense. You live for Jesus, people are going to attack you. If you live for Jesus, people are going to attack you. If you're a servant of God, God will come to your defense. Moses didn't answer a word. Moses didn't defend himself. God stepped in and said, listen, my servant Moses is humble before me, and he knows me, and he's close to me. Listen, friend, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Don't take that for granted. If you're saved, God's with you. Jesus is for you. He is there. But don't take that for granted. Moses still had to make choices to be faithful to the Lord. There might be a decision you need to make today. Maybe you've never been saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior today. You can repent and trust in Him and have the gift of eternal life. Maybe you've been saved a long time or just a little while, but you're not serving Him like you should. And You want to serve him like Moses. You want to have a close fellowship with God, be committed in your faithfulness to God. If he's convicting your heart about anything today, hey, would you be like Moses and show some meekness today, some humility today, and not worry about what everybody else thinks. Just seek to have close fellowship with God today while we sing. What number? Number 560. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. A decision you need to make. Maybe you just want to come and ask him to help you to be a better servant. Whatever it is, would you come right now?